You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast, the Raw post-game show. It is Monday night, February 1st, 2016. I'm your host, Torch assistant editor James Caldwell, and I'll be joined by Torch columnist Pat McNeil here in just a second at the top of the show here on the Raw post-game show. Breaking out tonight's show, kind of a maintenance show in between the Royal Rumble and Fastlane pay-per-views. I guess the big news of the show is that Kalisto will defend the U.S. title against Alberto Del Rio at the Fastlane pay-per-view. That's really the only newsworthy items tonight, really. They maintenanced the main event of Fastlane, which is Brock Lesnar, who was on the show tonight, against Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Ambrose and Lesnar had a confrontation. That was kind of interesting. We'll talk about that, plus other topics from tonight's Raw with your phone calls and your emails. And note that at our website, pwtorch.com, you can find my full report on tonight's Raw, plus vote in our polls on tonight's show, and all the news of the day covered at pwtorch.com. So with that in mind, let's bring in our trusty co-host every other week here on the Raw Postgame Show, PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Pat, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Hello, you people. You know, I got the feeling, James, that there are so many injuries on that roster that they pretty much threw in the towel tonight. Because they, you know, they could have. I mean, there were some people they could have used to, you know, to maybe perk things up a little bit. AJ, they held off AJ Styles. They held off Chris Jericho. Del Rio's still hurt. Let's see. You know, it just felt like we've got to do a show. Let's do one, and let's not do anything that kills us.
And that's why I think they were so heavy on pre-tapes and interviews and a lot of PSAs tonight, Pat. I mean, this was the infomercial kind of a show where they probably filled 20 minutes of TV time with infomercials, with patting ourselves in the back kind of stuff. So, this was not a show to rewatch on the DVR. There was a couple decent matches, I would say, Pat. You know, Kevin Owens and Ziggler, and things like that. But Pat, what stood out to you? You know, within the bare bones nature of the show, I agree with you on that point. What stood out to you from tonight's show?
Well, it's kind of old school that they sort of funneled everything towards the main event, and the main event has, you know, I mean, I guess you'd call them their top heels, the New Day, even though the New Day was getting cheered most of the night. Against Reigns and Ambrose, we got a quick glimpse of Lesnar. I mean, I think that's, you know, I think that match and the post match is your takeaway from the show, and it's really not, and there really wasn't a whole lot to it. Triple H dropped by to sort of try to get Lesnar to pick a fight with Ambrose and Reigns, and Ambrose took the F5, but Reigns did not. I guess they're saving that for next week. This felt like a very skippable show. Not necessarily bad, although there were some bad moments, but you know, nothing that you really needed to see.
What are we supposed to read into, Pat? Do you think about Ambrose and Lesnar? Because they did bookend the show with Ambrose confronting Lesnar. They had they really didn't have much of anything with Reigns and Triple H. They had, like you said, Brock and Hunter. And they book it, and then the end of the show with Brock giving Ambrose the F5. So, is that just the story within the story of Fastlane? Is that a potential match at WrestleMania? I mean, I don't know what to do with this one yet as far as Brock and Dean goes. I'm intrigued, but I don't know how much to read into this yet. Pat, what do you think?
Well, there's four guys in the title picture here, and they're going to narrow it down to two at the pay-per-view. So, they decided to sort of explore, you know, we've seen a lot of Reigns and Triple H. I guess they decided to explore, you know, a couple of the other dynamics. They teased, you know, maybe it'll be Triple H versus Brock at WrestleMania, which I don't think most people believe will be the case. But, you know, they have faced each other at WrestleMania before, and they pointed that out. And, you know, maybe, and man, a little bit of Ambrose and Lesnar. That makes for an interesting matchup. This is the one guy out of the group that you know, Lesnar hasn't worked with before, so it'll be interesting to see what they get to do with each other. But I just felt like that let's shake things up a bit. We've got two more Raws that we have to do before Fastlane, and we can sort of get back into the Lesnar versus Reigns groove then.
I wouldn't mind Ambrose and Lesnar in WrestleMania. I think that's a
no.
When you're looking at matches that you know people actually want to see, because so much of the conversation right now, Pat, seems to be the matches that we don't want to see. You know, I don't think people want to see Big Show and Braun Strowman. I don't think people want to see Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar. I think Dean and Brock's a match. Like, okay, like you said, they haven't really done that. They haven't done anything like that before. Let's kind of see where this thing goes. So, you know, I don't know, Pat. What do you think?
That's a good point, because there are a couple other, you know, there's definitely one other person who was glaringly absent tonight. Both Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas are, left Raw. They are with their family because their grandfather, Black Jack Mulligan, may sadly not be with us much longer.
Mm.
So that obviously, and Bray was a presence on the show. I guess that's why the other three Wyatt family members got to beat down Big Show as strongly as they did. If Bray had been there, it would have been a 4-on-1, and they might have held back a little bit.
Mm.
But we have Big Show, another good guy getting beaten down with nobody coming to his aid, and Ryback wasn't there.
That's true.
I'm moving past this. I'm now curious to see how they're going to fill two sets of house shows this weekend.
Oh well, Pat, we're jumping ahead to Wednesday's live event center. Yeah,
I know, but yeah.
Yeah, they've got a couple of days to call up a bunch of NXT people, AJ Styles doing this weekend? Does he have any independent bookings to wrap up?
I don't know. I did not hear of any. That's a possibility, I guess. Last weekend the Hype Bros made it onto the tour, so
which hurt the show that Greg Parks went to in Florida. Hype Bros were the headliners for that show, and they were sent to the main roster.
Did it really?
Well, I mean, on the car they had on the NXT show in Florida, it was, as Greg said, this was truly a developmental trainee show. It certainly was. Yeah. It fulfilled the mission of NXT to a T. Mm-hmm. Hype Bros, yeah, coming to a house show near you. Pat, I think the other segment that's going to get a lot of attention, and it was placed at the top of the second hour, the exact same spot as last week, AJ Styles on Miz TV with Miz doing all the talking and then AJ doing all the talking with his fists, beating down the Miz after Miz talked for about 10 minutes. Everybody's kind of rolling their eyes. Here's all the criticisms of AJ through the lens of a heel promo. Then AJ kind of got the one up at the end. What's your take on this week two presentation of AJ?
Well, I thought it sort of gave AJ a night off. He got to get a few moves in on the Miz. I thought it was primarily done to set up a match for SmackDown because they're trying to put more of a focus on SmackDown. If you saw Raw and you wanted to see AJ Styles and you didn't, you get to see him on SmackDown. And you're pretty sure he's going to win.
Yes.
And you're hoping for a Styles clash and maybe a couple of his other moves from back in the day.
I keep wondering if they're going to bring in a faction with him, Pat, or if he's going to be lone wolf by himself on TV. It's hard to read the introduction in the sense that we don't know where it's going. You know, they're introducing him, but we don't know if it's going to lead to just him by himself for forever, or if they're going to bring in the Balor Club or whatever you call it to kind of join up with. Right now, Pat, it feels like sort of a solo act without any backup. But once Carl Anderson and Doc are clear of their New Japan dates, then maybe they bring in the faction with Finn Balor. But I don't know. I'm kind of curious where this is going with AJ, Pat.
I am too, because not to give too big of a spoiler, but Nakamura is going to be at NXT TakeOver in April instead of WrestleMania. So it doesn't look like they'll be, doesn't look like he'll be paired with AJ or feuding with AJ, at least not right away. And I don't know what they have planned with Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. I mean, they, again, they're a little, they're lacking in depth to the point where Brock Lesnar is on another house show this weekend in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably use a few good hands right now.
Yes, and especially for the tag division, which is pretty much Dudleys weren't on this show tonight, so they could have
right.
been used.
You put them in there. Yeah. That might be why they're teasing the idea of R-Truth and Goldust forming a tag team because of how shorthanded they are.
Yeah, that qualifies as tag team division character development. Pat is Truth and Goldust apparently. Yeah, Usos and Social Outcast had a match, kind of a thrown together deal. New Day's
I mean, there's one heel tag team. Really with the New Day and the Usos don't have, and they've already gotten the better of the Usos. The Usos don't have anything to do for a while.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Which is a problem.
And they need to reorganize this. And I know that you have an injury to Sheamus. Barrett's already injured. Well, Del Rio's now injured. The entire League of Nations is down to one person who can actually wrestle, and that's Rusev, Pat. And
yeah.
So, though that faction's been pretty much reduced to one person, Dudleys are nowhere to be found, and they've lost so many times. They're not really effective anymore as a draw. So, I mean, Pat, part of this is the injury bug has bitten in a big way. The other part of it is WWE's really screwed up with their roster, and they had no cushion to work with, and now they're being exposed, and this show kind of did that. And then the house shows are really bad, as we documented, Pat.
Well, it's part of it is now, I went out a few years ago and started talking about how WWE needed a third tour to sort of remove the pressure from some of these guys. They have a third tour now. It's NXT. So, and NXT seems to have, a little bit of depth when you can, when you can basically sit Austin Aries for 6 weeks to give him a build up for when he does actually show up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe and Corbin and I guess Finn Balor and Apollo Crews and that's pretty stacked. I mean they can probably. I mean, I know they want to keep the brand separate, but there's a point where they could probably loan out a couple guys. But it really doesn't sound like they're planning that anybody is going to jump from NXT to WWE until after WrestleMania.
And part of it too, Pat, is NXT is now touring regularly. When these guys could be shifted off to a main roster show and just to fill the undercard. Well, guess what? WWE's got three NXT road shows this weekend. Plus, they've got a Florida show.
Right.
It's not like they can just say, "Hey, Finn Balor, go to the main roster house show." They need Finn Balor to headline these shows in Memphis, and Nashville, and Indianapolis this weekend. So, I mean, they're kind of caught where they need people, but they also need people in two different places at one time, and that's that's not a good spot to be in, Pat.
Well, I have a feeling that they're getting to the point, and then Triple H is head of talent where they're going to have they're going to have enough people, and they seem to be caring more about getting guys who are already able to wrestle in there instead, and not so much on building taking on projects,
mm-hmm.
big athletic guys who've never wrestled.
Yeah, so. Those guys have been tucked away in the Performance Center vault for years to come. Yeah, you're right, Pat. They're trying to recruit guys who can go wrestle now and have some buzz, and it's like, oh, you put them in WWE, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, yeah, I'll come see them wrestle. Like an AJ Styles. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, Pat. And we'll talk more about this, obviously, on Wednesday in the Live Event Center on the VIP After Show after Wednesday's live cast. Pat, give us a little talk about what's on tap for this weekend or for this Wednesday's live cast.
Well, we're going to have Trevor Murdoch back on the show. Obviously, he's starting his own wrestling school, and he'll want to talk about that. But he's usually good for... he keeps active, and he's usually good for some insight as to what's going on in the business of professional wrestling. Obviously, we'll do the after show. We're coming up on Sunday. It'll be next Sunday is Super Sunday, and we'll have the Wayback Playback with the White Castle of Fear match with Sting and Vader from 1993. And It's been interesting to go back and do Super Brawl again and see a few familiar faces. And you know, we're looking forward to see what you folks pick out next for our next set of shows.
Are you really looking forward to it, Pat? Is that, you know, the people picked this one.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since I watched this match. Jim Valley has his own Saturday morning live cast where he covers nostalgia and some of the great wrestling from the past, and that's a lot of fun for people who are into that. There's just a whole lot going on this website, James. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh yeah, I live it, breathe it. Yeah, know it. It is, Pat. It is officially the longest running Saturday morning nostalgia podcast in wrestling history already.
I'll have to remind Jim about that. That's a good point.
I'll record that as his intro, and he'll play it every week, I'm sure. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, he probably will.
Well, Pat, I enjoyed kicking off the opening, the start here of the post-game show. We will talk again on Wednesday.
Looking forward to it, James.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you joining me here on the Raw post-game show. And we'll get a quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with your phone calls. And the number to call us up, you want to call while we're talking to our sponsor, 646-721-9828, or email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
Before I go to phone calls, I was perusing the inbox here at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, and I wanted to address this one question, then we'll go to phone calls here in a second. Christian checked in. He said, what is your opinion on WWE sometimes pointing out mistakes made by the performers on live TV? And this week, it was Lillian Garcia introducing the Usos as the Grammy Award-winning Tag Team of the Year instead of the Slammy Award-winning. Shouldn't they try to hide them instead of saying them and pointing them out? Christian asked. Well, that's kind of two things. One, they like to pick on Lillian Garcia, but WWE's anti-bullying, so figure that one out. They like to pick on Lillian if she trips and falls, if she makes a mistake. They like to pick on her. Number two is a lot of Raw is for the personal amusement of Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn. And it's one of those things where they say, you know what, it's not going to damage the overall product. We point out that Lillian Garcia flubbed an introduction. It would be a problem if we pointed out that Roman Reigns did X, Y, or Z, or that Braun Strowman can't take a proper bump. So they find things to amuse themselves throughout the show, and pointing out a mistake by Lillian, an innocent mistake by Lillian, is worth the idea of pointing out that one of their performers or cast or whatever label made a mistake. Now, they're not gonna point out Roman Reigns botched a move. You know, so they're very selective about it, and then they feel like they can point out a botch by Lillian and it's not a big deal. And they can make fun of her, and not, you know, risk damaging the overall perception of the WWE TV show. So that's kind of their way of kind of amusing themselves in a mean-spirited way. It's Vince McMahon. It's Kevin Dunn. That's their sense of humor. Let's jump to a phone call. Let's kick it off in the 478 area code, and then we'll go to the 281. 478, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Darrell from Georgia.
Hey, Darrell, what's your mind tonight?
Not too much. couple of head scratches doing Raw, but not too much.
All right, where do you want to start, Darrell? Got plenty of them, right?
Yeah, plenty of head scratches. The 50-50 booking of Kevin Owens and Ziggler. I guess that's the way you start a feud, I guess. when a basketball team beats you 20 times and you beat them once, do you call that a feud? A rivalry? But I don't know. It talks down to AJ Styles, I guess. Sound like one of Vince's promos from back in the day when he would cut down superstars that he didn't feel, then cut it.
It was definitely, I'm going to come right back to you, Darrell. It was definitely Daniel Bryan all over again. I mean, this was Miz speaking for McMahon running down Daniel Bryan. And now, what, 6 years later, it is Miz speaking for Vince McMahon running down AJ Styles. It's dressed up as a test. You know, let's test. Can Styles overcome this? Can Styles win the segment? Can he handle himself? Can he, you know what I mean? As Miz is cutting this promo, can Styles handle it? These are the tests that they do. And so I'm pretty sure it's Styles, when he's presented the material, he was probably very much aware that, okay, this is a test. This is how it's going to be. And I thought he handled as best he could in that position, where they're testing him and they're trying to see how he would handle it. So it didn't make for good television. Let's put it this way. Miz was better than he has been. Miz has been in some really dreadful Miz TV segments over the last several months. This one was better because Miz was passionate, because I think he actually believes a lot of what he was saying, and kind of flashing back to the Daniel Bryan era when he was relevant. So I think that he enjoyed that. So that was good, the passion from Miz. But, you know, it's Miz. It's kind of a dead-on-the-rival character. And then, obviously, AJ, they're kind of putting him through the ringer. So, you know, you're just trying to find a net positive out of this, with AJ getting the beat down on Miz at the end of the segment. So, I don't know. To me, it was kind of a wash, leaning toward a net positive. AJ needs to go out there and beat Miz on SmackDown, and we'll see how that plays out. But, Darrell, that was kind of that thing of, like, you know, let's put him to the test, and it's kind of like, you know, do we really need to see this on the show? But, you know, it's been man's philosophy. You got to put him to the ringer. Darrell, go ahead. What else was on your mind?
Okay, now, glad that you said passion, so I got two. That's one of the questions. So here go the two questions.
Yeah.
What made me giving more respect to John Cena now is the passion that he drives from fans.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, just off of full-time people, not Brock Lesnar, the Jericho, which main star on the main roster drives the fans passionate, either to boo or to cheer? Because that's what I feel like they're missing. So can you see one that drives the passion of the fans, that had them in their hands, either to boo them or cheer them? And my second question is...
Go ahead.
So just so you can run off both of them.
Gotcha.
What happens without... I'm trying not to spoil NXT. What happens when... Because I'm saying when, because I know this is going to happen. When NXT is more talked about, TakeOver is more talked about than WrestleMania, what do they do then if you end WrestleMania with a boo session and NXT come out of that weekend the most talked about, if you go off of their lineup from top to from beginning of the card to end of the card?
Sure.
What do you think that's going to tell? And that's it for me.
All right, great stuff. Good topics. Appreciate it, Darrell. I'll go the first one. I think that Dean Ambrose elicits the most passionate reaction right now. It would be even more passionate, I think, if WWE positioned Ambrose as the guy that you're like, yeah, that guy might actually win the title or be the main guy. I mean, everybody can kind of see that Roman Reigns is that hand-selected guy to be featured, to be in the main event, to be the next champion. He's already been champion. You know, everybody can kind of see that. But with Ambrose, they haven't really given the audience that hope there. You know, Daniel Bryan, there was a movement that then produced the hope. Ambrose, there hasn't been a movement, and so therefore the hope isn't as strong. So I think people are still kind of like, yeah, you know, I really like Ambrose a lot, but he's not going to win a Super Bowl. You know, he's going to be a conference championship guy. You know, he's just not going to be the Super Bowl. But yet, you know, Ambrose is consistently really good, and I thought he had a really good exchange with Brock tonight. And so I think if WWE positioned Ambrose in the way they have Reigns, then there would be a huge support for Ambrose. Because then people would recognize, okay, this is the guy that is a big star and is being recognized for it, but not in a corporate endorsement kind of a way like the Backlash is for Reigns. I think there's a big difference between if a guy like Ambrose, who has a respect of the audience, if he were put in Reigns' position, then match. We have a match. Audience, push. We have a match. Reigns, it's resistance and push. We don't have a match. That's where the problem is. And so, as you said, Darrell, you look at WrestleMania weekend, I think if you ended with Reigns straight up winning over Triple H, they have to come up with some really big storyline going into that match, and or have I think they would have to close the show actually with a big angle. I mean, I actually mapped this out in my head earlier today. I think that if Reigns beats Hunter in the main event of WrestleMania and everything is as it is right now, Reigns has resistance, the hardcore fans or the international fans and all the big money spenders coming to WrestleMania are there to boo this outcome, they're going to have to come up with a big post-match angle to close Mania. Whether it's Seth Rollins coming back, whether it's a formation of the Balor Club, whether it's whatever. I mean, it would have to be a big angle to close Mania. Otherwise, you're going to go off the air with anger in the crowd. It's going to be Royal Rumble from last year. So I think the WWE is aware. And so either they will call an audible and not have Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania, or if they do have Reigns win, they'll have a big post-match angle to kind of end Mania on a higher note than the upsetness of the audience for Reigns winning, which could play into how NXT plays out two nights earlier. Because NXT TakeOver feels like it might be a blow-off or the end of some chapters, and then maybe the introduction of some main roster or some NXT guys on the main roster. So you very well could see TakeOver feed into WrestleMania and or post-Mania Raw. And that will make for a very interesting couple of nights in Dallas/Arlington. So I'm curious how it's going to play out as far as which will get the bigger story and the most publicity coming out of Mania weekend. And I think that at the end of the day, though, they'll try to come up with something big at the end of Mania that will kind of allow Mania to retain the top spot as far as the biggest event of the weekend goes. So we'll see how that plays out. Darrell, appreciate your phone call. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Let's go next to the 281 area code. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you doing tonight? You feeling better?
Yeah, voice is recovering. But my cat is missing, so that's kind of weighing on my mind. But it's like one thing or another. It's always something. But other than that, I'm doing fine. James, what's in your mind tonight?
Okie dokie. For the first point, kind of touch on a little bit. I kind of want to maybe ask you a question that you can speculate about Dean Ambrose.
Sure.
So he was in the final two in the Rumble, and the crowd went nuts. We talked about it before, after the show that we go to or whatever. The audience is clearly behind him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no boos. Like, they're just clearly behind him. That happens. Then tonight, he gets in Brock Lesnar's face, doesn't budge. You know what I mean? He's put in the main event of Fastlane. So my first question is, do you think, speaking of tests, do you think that this is a test for Dean Ambrose to see, you know, they're giving him stuff to see how he is in the main event picture? Because he was in the main event picture in the summer, but I felt like that, you know, the stuff that he did with Seth Rollins, it was good, but it wasn't, like, completely memorable.
Right.
So do you think this on a bigger stage, him having an opening segment promo with Brock Lesnar, do you think that this could be a litmus test to see if, you know, he could, quote-unquote, in Vince's eyes, quote-unquote, hang with the big boys? Do you think that this is just him? in an angle to get over Roman Reigns, and then after this match is over, he's back into another Intercontinental title feud? That's my first question.
Yeah, that's interesting. It very much feels like last year when it was Rollins, Brock, and Cena in the Royal Rumble pay-per-view title match, and Rollins had, you know, had an amazing match with those two guys, big, you know, two big dogs. And I think Ambrose is now in that Rollins position of let's put Ambrose in the situation with Brock, as well as Reigns, the chosen top babyface for the moment while Cena's injured. And let's see how Ambrose did, and you're right on. I thought Ambrose did really well tonight with Brock, and now they're going to put him in a match. I think the match at Fastlane will be a big test, like you said. I don't think he'll win the match unless they decide, hey, let's go title versus title. Let's go WWE Champion Hunter and Intercontinental Champion Dean. I think that's a match that's really intriguing. I think that would be a match worth considering. I don't think they'll do it, but it would be interesting to see that match. So, yeah, at the very least, I'm with you, James. At the very least, that spot for Dean is a big test to see how he does in a big match, in a big match set with Brock and Reigns. So, I very much think it's the Seth Rollins position as last year. I think it's a test for McMahon, I expect Dean to do very well in that match, and have probably one of his better career matches in WWE. So, I think he'll pass the test like Seth did last year. I don't think he won the title though. I don't think Dean will actually end up with a title, but it's worth thinking about. But James, go ahead. What else is on your mind tonight?
The other thing that I have is about AJ Styles. I wanted to ask you his potential as a top face. I think his look is incredible. I feel like that his moveset is great enough to get over with the kids. And, of course, the adults already adore him. I am kind of biased because he is from the South, and of course he's probably a gentleman. I heard he's like a really nice guy, so he could probably be, at the Today Show, or he could be a guy because I heard he's very soft spoken. Mm-hmm. And I can see, besides his shirts already selling out, I tried to order one. They won't ship it to me until February, so that's already a good sign. Uh-huh. And I can easily see, like, the kids wearing the gloves and stuff. They decide to push the Phenomenal One glove. So I guess my last question, and I'll let you go, is how high do you think the ceiling is for AJ Styles? Do you see him possibly, because he is 38, so time is, ticking in that hourglass. Do you see him, getting that spot representing the company for the next couple of years? Maybe. He could be the audible if they finally decide that Roman might not be the guy. Do you think that they're putting him for the ringer now, but they're going to eventually groom him for the top guy, and especially, like I said, if Roman goes down or if Cena gets injured again? That's all I have. Have a good night.
All right. Appreciate it, James. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, for as much as the Miz TV segment was kind of the messages about Styles, his look, where he's from, he doesn't talk, he sounds funny. In their mind, they have given him a lot of TV time in the introduction. The announcers have been very, very complimentary of AJ, and they've praised him. JBL, the heel announcer, has been complimentary. So it's not like they're burying him, to use an overused word, right out of the gate. I think AJ could be the next Jeff Hardy. I think he could be that guy, as you described, James. You painted a really good picture. The guy who gets who has the respect of the audience, the male audience, the kids like him. The kids want to, wear the merch, and he gets the sympathy from the women. Gets the respect, the sympathy, the support. Obviously, very much an easy David versus Goliath story to tell when you match him up with a bunch of big heels. Since AJ's undersized, but he can fly like crazy, so there's a lot of upside to AJ. It's how much is WWE willing to go with him? Is there a ceiling? Or is he a guy that could be the WWE champion? The guy that, wins a title at next year's Rumble or next year's WrestleMania or this year's SummerSlam and has a run with the belt. You never know. You never know with AJ. I mean, this is a wild card because it feels very much like Daniel Bryan, and WWE had to be, like, pushed and forced and stubbornly, like a mule, forced into going to Daniel Bryan on the way to WrestleMania 2 years ago. This doesn't quite feel like that. It's more like, hey, we pay this guy a lot of money. We gotta see what's out there. Let's tap into what and make it, you know, make the most out of this investment in AJ. So let's see how far this thing can go. And they're kind of reluctantly going toward it. They're not being forced like a stubborn mule though. They're just sort of slowly walking into this. Okay, selling some merch. Okay, big reaction. Good quarter hour ratings. Good match with Jericho. Took his medicine with The Miz. All right. Okay, well, let's keep this thing going. Let's not get too excited, but let's kind of see where this thing is going. That kind of seems to be the mentality, the way they're kind of playing this one right now. So a little bit different than Brian. Some of the same messages, but different as far as actually sort of going along with the flow and not being so resistant. So it's hard to say what the ceiling is, if there is a ceiling. You know, then they might just say, hey, the heck with it. Let's just go with AJ. But it's too early to tell how far they're willing to go with AJ. But the introduction has been pretty good. I wouldn't say great. I'd say good. You know, 7 out of 10. That's pretty good. I'll give him 7 out of 10 intro. James, good to talk to you. Appreciate the call. Let's go to the 773 area code. Welcome to show 773. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Boris from Chicago.
Hey, Boris. What's your mind tonight?
Oh, let me start off by congratulating the Saturday show, which was awesome. And I think I gave Jim Valley a really good one about Bob Luce Wrestling in Chicago. You know,
super nostalgia.
Awesome. I really enjoy the Saturday show just because we get to talk about something, you know, that's fun. And, you know, it's a time where we're not talking like this. You know, I'm waiting on the hammer to drop because my first question is, isn't this karma for WWE? Because now they're not even really pushing these guys, but they're stuck with the guys that never got a chance, like, you know, like the Social Outcast, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And they don't have any credibility to, you know, you can see that they're working harder than Roman Reigns because they don't have a spot, but Roman Reigns does. You know, this is still that push to get him over, and you can just tell and feel it. And my first question is, isn't this karma for WWE? And my second question is, Reigns can't help, but he'll never be over mentally or in any way because in the back of his mind, he already know that this push is his. Mm-hmm. Sort of like with Dean Ambrose, he will act a certain way because he knows that this is not his push. And most guys right now are getting over on the merits of just getting this time, like The Miz displayed today. So my thing is, my second question is it going to be a failure period with Roman Reigns because he, in his back of his head, he's not hungry because it's already given to him?
It's hard to say with Roman. You know, he's been pushed along throughout the whole process. When he got signed, developmental, he was told, you know, hey, you know, work hard, but, you know, you're the guy. And it was pretty obvious he was the chosen one. And then main roster, they formed the Shield to get him over, introduce him. And they put him with, you know, the two of the best workers in NXT, and Ambrose and Rollins. And then they, you know, gave him the Royal Rumble win and gave him the WrestleMania slot. Didn't work out. Gave him the WWE title tournament victory and had him lose, and then gave him the title back again and had him lose. And so he's been pretty much the guy in that spot. The interesting thing to me is the opposite is happening in college basketball. I'll kind of tie this together real quick. You know, college basketball for so long, we're used to the freshman, you know, the superstar phenomenon freshmen who come in and just, you know, set things on fire. And, you know, Duke won a national championship last year with two super freshmen. We're kind of used to that in college basketball, the one and done, big star freshman. This year, there's been a lot of freshmen who have been sitting on the bench. A lot of highly touted, big recruits, big stars, and they're sitting on the bench because coaches said, you know what, I can't win with you. And I think at some point, WWE's got to say, you know what, Roman Reigns, we get it, and you're really good at this, this, and this, but I can't win with you right now. At some point, McMahon's got to say, I have tried this, this, and this. I cannot win with Reigns right now with this push going into WrestleMania season. I think McMahon's got to back off and say, you know what, I've got to go with a couple of juniors and seniors. I need to go with the Dean Ambrose. I need to go with the transfer, AJ Styles, the guy who's transferred in, the graduate transfer, who's been at, you know, who's been at a mid-major. He's been in that, he's been in a mid-major, been at Gonzaga for 3 years, and he's transferring into the big program. And I got, and I think the coach has got to say, you know, let me go with an Ambrose. Let me go with an AJ. Roman Reigns, you know what? I can't win with you right now. But I think McMahon, though, is stubborn in the sense that he wants to win with Reigns. He wants to put him out there on the court. And, you know, kind of works here, works there, but overall isn't working 100%. And I think it's costing him games. And obviously, this isn't, you know, this isn't a pro wrestling is not a sport where you keep score, you know, 65 to 35 or 65 to 55. But you can sense that it's not working. You know, they backed all the way off of Reigns tonight, and they have him in a backstage skit with the Authority. But the opening segment, he was nowhere to be found. It was Ambrose and Brock and Paul Heyman. And then there was no promo time before the main event for Reigns. He was just kind of out there with Dean, and the focal point of the show was Dean and Brock. So they backed all the way off with Reigns tonight. When they needed, if he was in a good position, they would have gone full speed ahead with Reigns because they need stars in a bad way right now. They need big stars. They need people to make this show go because right now it is swimming in a three-hour muck. And with injuries, they need somebody that can say, Roman Reigns, get in there and dominate this show. Take over this game right now. Instead, they've got to pull back because they're afraid of the resistance on a weekly basis. You can't win with this guy right now. You cannot win with Roman Reigns. You need somebody to be in that spot who's going to take over the show and be in five segments and still be over and not be overexposed and get people excited and not have a resistance build and build and build and build. They can't do that right now with their top star, Roman Reigns. They've got to put him on the bench. This is the road to WrestleMania. And WWE is swimming in mediocrity right now. Maintenance show. Just a basic show. Boris, you brought up the Outcast. We also had an email about the Social Outcast. I think the Social Outcast capture one of the biggest problems of Raw right now is WWE trying to be cute, trying to be entertaining, trying to be social media, trying to be ironic. And they put four jobbers together and called them a stable, and the crowd's just dying. Nobody cares. The act doesn't work. You can put four jobbers together, they're still jobbers. The suggestion from an email from Agent 94, every time I see the Social Outcast thing, why not have them split up? He says, how about Slater and Axel? And then have Axel Mania come back. But, of course, can't do Axel Mania because of Hulk Hogan. So, why not have Slater and Axel go off and have Bo and Rose go off and or at least have two of these guys kind of split off. But that's actually where they ended up doing the house shows. They had two Outcasts on one house show tour. They had the other two on the other house show tour this weekend just to get some matches knocked out. So, yeah, I think the Social Outcasts kind of capture a lot of the problem of the product right now. A lot of the problems. Entertaining heels, cutesy promos, hashtags. Nobody's getting the heat. Nobody cares. Get this match over with. Let's move on. That's kind of the middle of the show right now. And they need people who are over and can come off the bench and do something. Because right now it's not working. Boris, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, and you guys have mentioned Jim Valley's show a lot on this show, and it's worth mentioning. It's a nice change of pace. It's a fun show. The first episode was this past Saturday, two mornings ago. Jim Valley had his Saturday Morning Wrestling debut show. Went about 100 minutes. It was a good solid 90-plus minutes. Talking nostalgia. Call him about anything. I mean, if you want to talk about an old show, an old territory, an old show you used to watch growing up in wrestling, call up Jim Valley on Saturday mornings. 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central, 8:30 Pacific, where Jim is, in Seattle. So call him up on Saturday mornings. And join the show. Join the conversation on Saturday mornings. Saturday Morning Wrestling is back right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's march on with some more phone calls. And next up is the 937 area code. Welcome to show 937. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Gabe from Ohio.
Hey, Gabe, what's your mind tonight?
I'm different from everybody else tonight. I actually pretty much enjoyed Raw quite a bit.
Sure.
I was surprised everyone's kind of labeling the Owens and Ziggler thing as 50-50. I mean, Owens, I'm pretty sure it's like 87 to like 13 now. I mean, he's beaten them a billion times. So Dolph was in line for a win. He'll probably, if Owens will get his win back, he'll be fine. It's not really that big of a deal. I completely agree with the Roman thing. He was just not non-existent the whole show, and I was kind of into that because I'm really into Dean. My questions are this. Do you think that with Brie winning, that we'll get the title shot at Fastlane with Charlotte, and then you can open up the triple threat with Becky and Sasha and Charlotte? Do you think that's kind of the way that they want to go with those two, because it would be better than a multi-diva match like they've been doing the past few years?
Yeah, two really interesting things to talk about there. I think that Brie will get the title shot against Charlotte at Fastlane, kind of a holdover, you know, let's not give away a big match, a Fastlane type deal. And then at Mania, it very well could be Charlotte Charlotte versus Becky versus Sasha. I think a lot of people want to see Charlotte and Sasha one-on-one. I think it's gonna be a three-way match for the Divas title, and then have everybody in a lumberjack situation. The rest of them, Team Bella and Team Bad and Paige and Natalya, who are nowhere to be found tonight. Well, a lot of people missing in action. I mean, there was another show tonight. There was not another show tonight. I don't know. It's kind of a weird show in that sense. They bring them back, Paige and Natalya, and then disappear. So, I think it'll be a three-way, and it'll be a lumberjack situation. I kind of have that sense of it. It was odd too, Gabe, that Reigns was not on the show. I'm glad you brought up the Owens that Reigns is not as featured as much on the show. I think it's just because the resistance and that's a problem. If you're a top star, if you're afraid to put him in five segments on the show, then you have a problem. That's why I think they need to go with Dean. I think he's the guy to go with. So you brought up Owens and Ziggler, and this was an interesting point during the show because JBL is talking about the road to WrestleMania and how these matches count. You want to get a spot at WrestleMania. They need to have an actual system that makes it clear how this happens, because otherwise it's just lip service. It's just, let's just make up a reason why these guys are having a match. Well, they're jockeying for position on the road to WrestleMania. Okay, show me the history. Show me that Owens has won X amount of times and Dolph has won X amount of times, and now Dolph has some momentum because he's won this many times, and Owens has to get back on track because he's lost this many times. When they set it up as, oh, they're jockeying for position. Where? What? Show it to me. Give me a graphic. Show me a picture. Explain, you know what I mean? It just explain this. Otherwise, it does become the thing of like, oh my gosh, Owens lost. Owens lost. He's out of the NCAA tournament now. You know, it's that panic of, somebody loses and oh my gosh, are they out of the tournament? You know, are they? You know, have they been bumped out of the NCAA tournament now? You know, because there's no framework, there's no structure to any of this. It's just two guys having a match where they say, oh, you know, they're trying to get to a spot at WrestleMania. How? What? When? Where? You know, like, but it's that thing that's so frustrating. When people trade wins back and forth and there's no structure to make the results mean something, then it's just guys trading wins back and forth. Because otherwise, like you said, Gabe, it would not be a big deal. It would not be a big deal in the sense of, oh my gosh, the sky is falling on Kevin Owens. Because they'd be able to go back and look at Owens won here, here, and here. Don't panic. Ziggler finally got a win. Good for him. But because there's no structure, people panic because Owens lost, you know. Which is funny because Dolph, you know, two or three years ago, Dolph was the guy you're like, can Dolph just get a win? And now Dolph got a win, and people are more focused on Kevin Owens because Dolph has kind of lost his way as a character through the booking. And so now Dolph wins, and people are upset because Owens lost. So it's a fascinating kind of game, and they can make it a lot better of a game if there was some structure. But they're not interested in that because that's too wrestling. Have rankings and structure and wins and losses and all this sort of stuff. That's wrestling. Well, I'll tell you what, wrestling works once in a while, guys. Listen to Jim Bowie on a Saturday morning. You'll find out how and when and why. Gabe, good call. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. And next up is the 936 area code. Welcome to show 936. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Michael from Spring, Texas.
Hey, Mike, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
It's great to hear from you, James. Hope you're feeling better. Darrell from Georgia kind of took my topic from Miz TV, but one point I wanted to point out was it looked like AJ, body language-wise, it just seems like he's happy to be back in the WWE. Or not back, but to be in the WWE, which is great. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think Kevin Owens he could be the potential face of wrestling, heel face of wrestling going forward. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, like, can we please retire Goldust? And secondly, what did you think of Brock Lesnar's use tonight? Like, it kind of felt. Yeah, he did a little bit, but he could have done more. He could have destroyed people, kind of build up that thing, going in a fast lane. Because, you know, he's not going to have that many more appearances going into the pay-per-view. So tonight could have been his mark. And you kind of watch the promo with him and Paul Heyman, and he's like, yeah, there's going to be some carnage. Yeah, I mean, that's not his words, but, mm-hmm. You know, stuff's going down. And it just really didn't happen. And lastly, I say it every time I call in about the Divas Division with Charlotte. Like, can she dump Ric Flair? Like, does she need her daddy out there every week? Like, Ric Flair, if she is all that she is, like, athletic and beautiful, whatever people want to say about her, does she need her daddy ringside all the time causing all these distractions? I know that's a heel-type tactic, but does she need her daddy to do it? That's my question. I appreciate the show. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks, James.
All right, yeah. Appreciate it, Michael. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, some good topics, so I'll kind of go backwards. I think that Rick at ringside has worn its welcome. I think that it served its purpose. They got over Charlotte as a heel. They've reinforced it enough. We get it. They were trying to do a spot tonight where Rick was distracting Brie, when Brie was trying to finish off Charlotte, and Alicia Fox was supposed to come over. It was just sort of a mess. I think that Rick is, as far as being a character goes with Charlotte, I think the time has come for him to kind of disappear from TV. So I don't know. I think people like to see Rick on TV, but it's not working right now in the current role. I don't think. I don't think he's helping right now. As far as Brock goes, yeah, similar question from Wayne in Toronto. He emailed, what are they doing with Brock? Why isn't anyone afraid of Brock anymore? I like Dean standing up to Brock in the opening segment. And I liked Brock taking out Dean at the end of the show, kind of reestablish his dominance. I don't know if they're trying to go the routes of take Brock down and then build him back up as a monster. I think too much damage has been done to Brock at the point where I don't think people look at him like the big superstar anymore. I think too much of being on Raw too much limits some of the specialness. Being involved in some basic stuff, and then the speed dial through the Undertaker program last year, I think made Brock feel not as special anymore. You know, the way they just quickly moved through that, I think that overexposed Brock, and I think it hurt Taker too. And I just don't think that Brock is as special anymore because of WWE's booking. And so I want to give it some time to see if this is a deal where they're trying to, you know, take Brock down and then build him back up again and have Triple H be like, oh, so I guess Suplex City's gotten a little soft. Oh, huh, Brock. And then, you know, then Brock goes on a rampage. But we only saw a little bit of that with him giving the F5 to Dean tonight. So we haven't seen the all-out rampage from Brock. And, you know, I want to give it some time to see if they can build back up to that. But, yeah, right now it does feel a little bit like Brock's not as special or as big of a deal as he used to be. And, yeah, Owens could definitely be the top heel in the company. And he was well on his way to that with the John Cena introduction last year. It just didn't quite work out as well. As far as right in the immediate. I think long-term, Owens could be a big deal. And he probably will be. It's just in the immediate, he's not there yet. So, you know, we'll give it some time. Mike, appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next caller. And let's go to the 901 area code. 901, welcome to the show. Please state your name, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Michael in Memphis. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Michael. What's your mind tonight?
All right, well, I was thinking about Dean Ambrose and the reason that he's not actually getting up to that higher level of where Roman Reigns is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more his character. Everybody believes that he's supposed to be this lunatic, but the lunatic fringe and the dirty deeds, those 70s references to classic rock, that's not really connecting with the kids. Second of all, his hair's like all slicked down, everything else. He's got like this 60s greaser look, like he's Fast Eddie getting hauled down to the clink by the fuzz, okay? And it's his moveset that's also holding him back. That slow-mo backdrop into the mid-rope to get back up and that slow-mo kick off the second turnbuckle is not helping this guy. I think those are the things that, you know, if you want to be a psychopath, look at Buzz Sawyer. You want to be a psychopath, look at Brian Pillman. You want to be a psychopath, do not look at Dean Ambrose. He looks like a 60s greaser. And that's really, it sounds cliche and weird, but I really think that is like the thing that's holding back his moveset or going in the slow-mo so much. He's not wrestling like Johnny Moxley. He's wrestling like WWE Dean Ambrose.
Right.
And I believe that you know, just the classic rock references, everything else, sticking your tongue out and having your hair greased down, that doesn't make you crazy. That just makes you look like a fool. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. There is something to that in the sense that some of the act feels mid-card, and some of the act doesn't feel legitimate. And I think part of that is Dean putting Jon Moxley, his independent character, through the WWE machine and trying to spit out a softer version of Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley and the independents, Evolve, WWE and Live, DDUSA, the Dean Ambrose's former character was just a crazy nut job and not in the cartoony version like WWE. I think, though, that he stood out enough with, you know, if you took 75% of Jon Moxley, you still have a pretty good character for WWE to stand out. Now, is he authentic all the way? Yeah, probably not. Is it? And I think part of it is because they have to tone it down a little bit because of the nature of the show. They're trying to appeal to the mainstream. As Triple H puts it, they're pop music, and NXT is a hard rock or heavy metal. So Dean has to pop it a little bit. He's got to make it a little poppy with the character. So it's a hard spot to be in because if they did go all the way with him as Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose, he'd be super over. But in their mind, it's too dangerous. It's too not what we do. It's too narrow. It's not broad enough. I think their idea is that we have to broaden out Jon Moxley and create Dean Ambrose. So he's kind of stuck there where if he could be this guy, he'd be the top guy in the company. But he can't be that guy, and so therefore he's not in the spot of Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns is in the spot because he's a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more casual viewer oriented, a little bit more light, a little bit less edgy. He's more pop. Dean's more hard rock, but he's kind of a watered down hard rock. So I get where you're coming from, Michael. I still think, though, that Dean is still really strong as a character in this era, even as a slightly watered down version of Jon Moxley. And I think that Dean, if you gave him the opportunity that they're giving Roman Reigns, I still think that he could be the biggest star in the company, even if you have some of the knocks as you presented, Michael. Because he stands out from the crowd, because he's not a cookie-cutter version of somebody from developmental, even if he is 75% Jon Moxley. That's still pretty good, and that's still a pretty good character. It's just not the superstar guy that he could be if he were just straight-up Jon Moxley. But would Jon Moxley fit in WWE mainstream television? You know, I don't know. That'd be interesting to see. If he was all-out lunatic, chairs, promos, crazy man, not the watered-down sort of cartoony version of Jon Moxley. It might be too much for today's audience. So, therefore, we get Dean Ambrose. Interesting spot to be in. Michael, appreciate the call. That's a really good discussion to have, and I appreciate you calling in. Let's go next to the 216 area code. Welcome to show 216. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
And I'm out here.
Yo, B-Lump from Ohio.
Hey, what's going on tonight? What's your mind?
This Monday Night Raw, I thought the best segment was AJ Styles, only because I like that they're putting him with people that can talk, so it's like they can further his character for him, even though he's not a good of a talker. But my question is, what do you think, what's your overall opinion on Raw tonight, like on a scale of 1 to 10? Because tonight, I didn't feel like it didn't hold my attention like that. Like, the only part that really held my attention was probably Miz TV and a little bit of the main event, a little bit of it. But overall, what do you put Raw on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you put it at?
Sure.
And what do you think about AJ Styles so far as them putting him with characters such as The Miz, such as Jericho, you know, people that could talk for him, because it felt like that it was practice for him. Like on Miz TV, it felt like, all right, we're going to give you a little practice round, put you out there and see what you can do. You see how Miz kind of taking the mic from him, and,
sure,
you know, it just felt like a practice round. So what do you think about that overall so far?
Yeah, overall on Raw, I'd probably give it a 5. I didn't feel like there was a great amount of good television. I don't think there was like an awful show. It was one of those Raws that you feel like if they would have had a week off, it would have taken the week off. Like if they could take a week off, they would take a week off. You know, the show just didn't have much going. You know, they used a Brock Lesnar appearance. They had Roman Reigns in the background. Triple H was in one segment. They're top champion. They kind of teased the Dean Ambrose Brock thing that we're not sure what to do with yet. Main event was sort of filler. A lot of PSAs, a lot of, heels being baby presented like baby faces, you know, Stephanie McMahon representing girl power when she plays this nasty, vile heel. You know, it just the stuff you're like, they just undermine their own show, just trying, you know, just because they can't help themselves. You know, they want to pat themselves on the back and end up just smacking themselves on the back of the head. And so, with, you know, with the presentation of heels as favorable, nice people, it's just undercutting themselves. So, to me, this stuff is so flimsy. A lot of the material is so flimsy that, but it's not offensive. It's just a basic 5.0. It's just a show that didn't need to happen tonight. And like you said, yeah, a lot of stuff did not hold people's attention, and that'll probably bear itself out in the ratings tomorrow night. AJ and Miz, yeah, I thought that was an effective use of Miz. People are going to be mad about it and look like it's, you know, it's knocking AJ. As we talked about earlier, it's, you know, kind of put him through the test and put him through the ringer, and I get all that. All the games that must be played and Vince McMahon's mind to kind of test guys out. So, yeah, it was probably Miz's best segment in months because he was an irrelevant segment. He actually sounded passionate, and so that was good. So we'll see what happens with AJ and Miz in the ring on SmackDown this week. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to use Miz, I guess this is probably the best way to do it, you know, if you have to use him, you know. So, kind of follow up on that Tanner email. He said that he thought Miz was fantastic tonight. I don't think they ought to draw the Daniel Bryan AJ comparison because it might make AJ seem like an imitation. But having guys like the Miz underestimate AJ will position AJ in a good spot for months to come. Yeah, I think that's a good point in the sense that you want to have AJ show some fire. You know, people start doubting him, then boom, AJ, you know, smashes them. Kind of like what AJ did to the Miz at the end of the segment, where AJ fired up and showed good fire and took down Miz at the end of the segment and made Miz be like, whoa, okay, wow, okay, wow, yeah, that's, wow, I didn't see that coming. So, yeah, I think there is something to that with Miz and using him there and also showing AJ show some fire and have Miz be the foil for that. Yeah, the AJ-Daniel Bryan comparison is interesting. It's a fine line to walk. I don't think it was bad tonight to kind of have Miz be the link between Bryan and AJ. I think there's some equity in Bryan they can use for AJ now and have Bryan, especially if Bryan's ever going to wrestle again for WWE, you might as well have Bryan be the guy that translates that to AJ. You know, people's desire to see Bryan wrestle, well, let's try to transfer that to AJ. As you said, though, Tanner, you don't want to seem like an imitation. So that's really... that's a really interesting point to bring up, is to not make it seem like it's an imitation. But I think AJ is a strong enough character where people will not see it that way. Yeah, you're right. They do have to be careful not to make it seem like a tribute or a knockoff of Daniel Bryan is, oh, here comes AJ Styles, this independent wrestler guy. I think AJ is strong enough, though, to where he won't be viewed that way over time. Let's try the 313 area code. Welcome to the show, 313. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Wayne from Detroit.
Oh, hey, Wayne, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Real fast, I think that Roman Reigns is headed towards a lot of resentment again because I foresee him winning this triple threat and going to face Triple H. So not saying that, you know, it would get it over or anything like that. I guess the lesser of two evils. Do you see if they put a stipulation on the match if he faces Triple H, mm-hmm. that it would be like the title versus the Authority, you know, disbanding? Do you think a stipulation like that would be enough that if Roman Reigns won the match, the fans wouldn't crap all over it and maybe suppress some of the...
Yeah, let me touch on that one first. I'll come back to you, Wayne. I think they would have to really reinvigorate the Authority as heels. you know, Tonight Show, Stephanie had a basic deal with Dean and Reigns backstage. Triple H had a basic deal with Paul Heyman and Brock backstage. They weren't really, you know, like vile, evil people tonight. They would have to beat down AJ and Bryan and Ziggler and, you know, come up with any other popular babyface and just have these guys get beat down and the authority and pour all this heat back on the authority and have everybody be mad and take Sami Zayn and take him off of NXT and have him get beat down and you know what I mean, like beat down everybody that the audience likes. That's going to be at WrestleMania. And have all this heat built back on the authority and have Reigns be the guy that saves or that ends the authority and frees all the babyfaces from under the rule of the authority. Even that, I don't know if the crowd would still cheer for Roman Reigns. You know what I mean, Wayne? In the sense that I don't know that the – I think that they missed the boat on the authority being worth vanquishing. I think that if they would have done this a couple years ago when Bryan beat Hunter and Batista and Orton at WrestleMania 30, and that was the end of the authority, that would have been a really big deal, along with Bryan winning the title. But they didn't do that, and now the authority's kind of lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered, and it's sometimes they're evil, sometimes they're whatever, sometimes like, yeah, whatever, they're part of the show. Other times like, gosh, just go away. There isn't that sense of, oh my gosh, I can't wait for somebody to finally end the authority. And they would have to rebuild and put heat back on the authority and have Reigns really got to conquer them for people to really care about that. And I just don't know if Reigns ending the authority would overcome people's angst toward Reigns winning the title, winning WrestleMania. I don't know that there's enough juice there in the authority right now. And if there's enough time to organically build back up to that like it was a couple years ago. So that's a really great point, Wayne. It would help if they could get it back there. I don't know if they can do that effectively and organically and make it happen. But, man, they might have to try that and have that be the stipulation is if Reigns wins, the authority goes away forever. And the sub-story is that the authority goes away, and Daniel Bryan is waiting there to be the new general manager if the authority loses. You know what I mean? I mean, it would have to be something so layered that you're like, okay, I can accept Reigns winning. You know, just sort of that sort of thing. But, Wayne, what else was on your mind tonight?
No, I mean, basically that was it. Everything you said, I agree with. But I just really don't see how they come out of WrestleMania if Roman Reigns wins the belt again, and it's being seen, you know, as a positive. So I'm just trying to figure if it's some kind of spin they could put on it to make people agree with it even a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, it would take a lot of effort to make that happen. And the alternative, as we talked about earlier, is maybe have a big post-match angle where, you know, Reigns is attacked by the next heel, whether it's a returning Seth Rollins or I presented the big post-match attack from a group, which Darrell emailed in. Exactly what I was thinking is have AJ come out with the Bullet Club or the Bauer Club, and they jump Roman Reigns after WrestleMania, the main event, and have them attack Roman Reigns, and then you get to AJ and Roman Reigns there. So I think if they don't have somebody else in that spot for Reigns, if it's somebody else against Hunter, that's whatever. If it's Reigns and Hunter, I think they've got to come up with something big. I mean, there's got to be more than just, hey, Reigns beats Hunter, and that's the end of WrestleMania. I just don't think that could work. Also, speaking of what might not work, Braun Strowman. Email from Brian Hamilton. He emailed him, does it make sense to have Braun win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal WrestleMania? I almost like that better than any other scenario, and it would give him another year to improve. If you had to have him on WrestleMania and you had to have him win a big match, I'd be okay with him winning the Giant Battle Royal than in a singles match or a tag match and a big featured match at Mania. I see Braun. I still see him SmackDown taping 6-7 months ago here in Houston. Might have been sooner than that or more recent than that. And incredibly green, opening match, prelim dark match. Didn't look very good at all, and I still picture that guy, and I have seen very minimal improvement since then on television. And if you put him out there in a big singles match or a big tag match, he's not ready for it. He's just not. So, yeah, I think, Brian, that's a good idea, is have him either win or be in the final kind of grouping of the Andre Battle Royal, and have him, you know, do something that Andre Battle Royal impressive and noteworthy, and then springboard off of that for the next year to come. But I think it would be very premature to put him in a big match, singles or tag, at this year's WrestleMania. I just don't think he's ready for that spot. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is from the 630 area code. Welcome to show 630. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is James from Chicago.
Hey, James. What's your mind tonight?
Just to commend you guys. You guys do a great job. I really commend you guys for what you do.
Appreciate it.
One thing I want to talk about is I think it would be so horrible if Roman wins the championship. I don't care what kind of scenario it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for Brock Lesnar to be the – he wasn't a beast tonight to me, even at the end of the segment. At the end of the show, he
right.
wasn't a beast.
Right.
It was something that it kind of scared me how Triple H came up. To, not scared me, but made me worry about WrestleMania in a way. You know, like, okay, if Dean has to drop the Intercontinental Championship, because I feel they need an Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania.
Mm.
That's needed. So that tells me a lot. If Kevin Owens is not fighting Dean anytime soon, it looks like they're building up Dolph for Kevin Owens in some type of way. What's going to happen? That tells me that Dean, if they're not going to drop the title before Fastlane, Dean's going to still have the championship, and he's not going to win a triple threat. That tells me a lot
mm-hmm.
with him having that belt. Do you see any type of wow factor at Fastlane? Like, out of nowhere somebody comes, because that's the only thing that can really, like, I don't know. I need a wow factor.
Sure.
At Fastlane. You know, do you see anything that's coming up as a wow factor? And to end it, I think it's going to be AJ Styles against Chris Jericho, and I think it's going to be a rematch at WrestleMania. I don't see nobody else because they're building them too slowly.
Mm.
You know, I understand that, but they're kind of building slowly. But can AJ Styles become champion in the next year?
Mm.
And that'll be it. Thank you.
Great call. Appreciate the call, James. I think AJ will be champion within the next year and a half. I'll give them until next year's SummerSlam for him to be champion. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Now, obviously, if they decide they don't like AJ and he's too short and all that nonsense, he can't talk right, then they might not put the belt on him. But I would say within a year and a half, and probably the most likely scenario is that with him as a leader of a heel faction like the Bauer Club. Or the Bullet Club, or whatever. I think he'll be champion, though. And, yeah, the match that he has at WrestleMania, you know, is it a Jericho match? Is it a rematch? Is it, do they face each other at Fastlane? And then Jericho wins at Fastlane, and then they have a third match in the series at Mania. You know, that seems like it might be too big of a stretch to stretch that out all the way, but it's interesting to kind of think about. We'll see how that plays out. I'd like to see another match between AJ and Jericho. That might be your wow factor, James, is maybe that rematch, the first rematch, happens at Fastlane, where, you know, Jericho might get that win, and then AJ might win the series whenever that third match would happen, Mania or sometime else. but it's also a thing of, do you want to have AJ lose his first pay-per-view singles match? Might not want to do that. So that's the big question mark. The Intercontinental title is interesting because if you have Dean not win at Fastlane, then you've cleared him for WrestleMania. He can face whomever it is for the Intercontinental title. If you don't have him drop the title before Fastlane, then you've tied up the Intercontinental title and the WWE title into one match because Triple H is not going to wrestle. He's going to watch the winner of the number of contenders match. And so, therefore, you've put the Intercontinental title and the WWE title into one match, you know, and put them all into that one match at Fastlane for WrestleMania. So then you've taken away that. You've got the U.S. title match. You've got the tag title match. Who knows who New Day faces. And you have a Divas title match, which looks like Charlotte and Brie. So then you have an undercard with no juice to it. And so, yeah, maybe they do a Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler rematch of the rematch of the rematch. The only wow factor I see in any of that is an AJ Styles Chris Jericho rematch. So, you know, that might be what you're looking for, James. But, you know, do you want to have AJ? Do you want to have AJ lose on pay per view? I don't know. Boris emailed in fire. He says, "I feel like they're playing with fire with AJ. If the fans think that he's going to be pushed, or fans think his push is being held back like Daniel Bryan, you know, like the Miz TV segment, it is playing with fire a little bit. I think though that AJ got the last word in, and so that was good. He got to beat down Miz, got to show some fire. Speaking of that, and so I think that was good." I get where you're coming from, Boris, in the sense that it is a little bit dangerous. It's an introductory character. You got to be careful with a new character you're introducing. You got to maintain that level of like, oh wow, this guy's really cool, really good. So there is a little bit of that. You got to be careful with a new character. Be sensitive, fragile. But I think they're okay. I think they're okay. There is a match in their hand, but I think they're okay with it right now. They're not damaging him at the moment. James, appreciate your call. Let's go next to the 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's your mind tonight?
I got two quick things. My first thing is that it's getting crazy. I think don't they think they forgot about the 30-day rule of the champion defending the belt? And it's like, I feel like the champion has to be there. I mean, the crowd wants the heavyweight champion, and that's what they're paying for, and the guy's not there. He's just sitting at a desk doing paperwork. That doesn't mean he's a champion. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, it's just not fair how, you know, the fans have to pay all his money and whatnot, and we don't have a real champion, you know. I mean, they need to do something to change something, you know. What do you think about that? And my second thing is, real quick, is that what's going on with Taker? Nothing's coming up. Nobody said anything. Fastlane's in 3 weeks away. Do you really think that they're going to wait till Fastlane and then try to push something hardcore before WrestleMania or what? I mean, I don't know what's going on. I mean, this is a big arena.
Yeah. I think that right now it does feel like you're right on there, DJ, that they're going to wait till after Fastlane to establish Taker's match. Or they'll have Taker get involved in a match at Fastlane, and then that leads to a match of Mania. But yeah, it does seem like they're waiting a long time for this one. So it makes you wonder if they don't have a really big match to work with, or that they're planning for, and so they don't want to set high expectations. They want to set reasonable expectations, and so they're kind of waiting to kind of introduce it, not make a huge deal out of it. You know, it's not Taker and The Rock. It's not Taker and Brock. It's not Taker and Sting. It's not Taker and Cena. So they're kind of waiting to kind of, okay, we'll softly introduce whatever the match ends up being, but they don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. So, I guess that's kind of what they're going for with this one. The 30-day rule with Triple H not defending the title, it's, again, one of those things where it's, you know, they want to be WWE. They don't want to be wrestling, 30-day rule, and sports. And then, you know, they're trying to get away from all that and not have people think about those sorts of things. So that's just the nature of it. And, yeah, you like to see the top champion be a little bit more involved in the show. You know, it's just going to be one of those WrestleMania seasons where the top champion is not going to be the main star. He's not going to be he's not going to be a full-time wrestler. He's not going to be a full-time roster guy. He's a part-time wrestler, part-time executive, part-time heel authority figure. That's the champion they've selected going to WrestleMania season. The idea being that Roman Reigns then beats, Reigns beats Hunter and conquers the authority. Whether or not that actually ends the authority or not, you know, remains to be seen. But that's kind of the idea. But I don't know. It's a fine line to walk with Hunter. You can't have him on the show all the time, but you got to have your champion out there. So you're right on. I mean, maybe they should have had a different champion going to WrestleMania, but they want to have Reigns conquer Hunter. And so they're, again, it all goes back to Reigns. If they didn't have Reigns, then they wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff. Or if they would have had somebody else in this spot, then they wouldn't have to worry about this. But, alas, they have to, so. Emailed in from Christian. He says, what about Taker, Brock, Show, and Kane against the Wyatts? Yeah, you know, I mean, they could do that. But, man, that's putting Taker and Brock in one big match. I don't know about that one. I don't know. It, you know, I know that's been floated out for a little bit, but I don't know. It's there, but I don't want to see Brock in an 8-man tag. I don't want to see him in a tag. I don't want to see a Taker in an 8-man tag or a tag. I want to see them in some compelling singles matches, but I will take the 8-man tag over Taker or Brock against Braun Strowman. I'll take that any day of the week, because Braun's just not ready for that spot. But I hope they can come up with something compelling singles match related for Brock and for Taker going into WrestleMania. Let's go to our next caller. Next up is the 347 area code. Welcome to show 347. Please state your name where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing, James? Jonathan from New York.
Hey, Jonathan, what's your mind tonight?
Hey, everything is good. Well, I was thinking about like this scenario for Mania. I don't know what you think about this, but okay, to avoid any disaster like happened last year, they had to call it audible like in the middle of the like 15 minutes before WrestleMania ended, you know, with the cashing of Seth Rollins. Why don't you have Ambrose winning the triple threat, being the underdog? He's over with the people. He looks like one of us, like the fans. We like him, mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, he's coming from the bottom. He came from the Indies. He made his way up. This guy, Roman, is, you know, like you said before, I totally agree with what you said before. Everything was given to him. Just work hard. You're the main guy. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. So why don't you have Ambrose facing Triple H at Mania, have Roman facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then Brock Undertaker goes over, and let's have Ambrose go over Triple H, and then have Roman attacking him at the end. And then you build a new feud from there, turn Roman heel, and then by SummerSlam or next year at Royal Rumble, try to become the babyface. I think that sounds good.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things from tonight's Raw is they address the idea that all partners eventually break up. That would be a way to have Reigns turn heel, is have Ambrose win the triple threat, and then have, like you said, have Ambrose beat Hunter, and then have Reigns attack Ambrose, and then you have your new feud. So that's interesting. I don't think they would do it because they're so focused on Reigns being the top star and being babyface and all that. I just don't know they'd pull that off, but that's a heck of a booking scenario. That's interesting, John. I kind of like that. That's interesting. Email from Patrick. He said, do you think there's any chance that John Cena is back in time for WrestleMania? He sure is trying to make it seem like that way on Twitter with his injury updates. It's possible with Cena. It is possible with Cena. Who he would end up facing, obviously I'd have him face Taker. That's a match I think needs to happen in WrestleMania at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. I don't know. I don't know if it'll happen, but yeah, I'm not counting Cena out. I am not counting him out. I would give him a 50% chance of being in WrestleMania. How about that? 50% chance. Let's go to our last caller, and let's go to the 203 area code. Welcome to show 203 area code. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, James. This is Joey from Connecticut.
Hey, Joey. What's your mind tonight?
I'm thinking about, like you said, them having like a big thing at WrestleMania. So I was thinking, if somehow you could get it that no one wins at Fastlane, and then it's a big thing going into WrestleMania, like, oh, who's going to face Hunter? And then you have Bray and Brock Lesnar have their match, because I feel like Bray's going to jump him. And then have somehow, like, Triple H hits like the pedigree on Dean Ambrose, and then somehow the referee gets knocked down, and then Seth Rollins runs in and hits Triple H with the chair, and then you have like maybe like a Shield, you know, face turn,
sure,
and Reigns win the belt, and then have like Seth say something like, see you at SummerSlam to Hunter, you know, to finish off their feud.
Right.
I think
Cena, 50-50 shot at being involved in WrestleMania. I'm going to give Seth a 50-50 shot at being involved in WrestleMania, where he won't be able to wrestle. I don't think he'll be... I mean, that would be a major development if Seth could wrestle at Mania, because his injury is a lot more severe than Cena's is. But, yeah, I would give a 50% chance of Seth being involved in WrestleMania, whether it is attacking Hunter, as you said, following up on the whole authority thing. You know, things like that. So I could very well see Seth involved, and then, like you said, setting up something for SummerSlam when he is ready to come back. So I'll be curious how all this plays out, and I think they'll have a winner at Fastlane. I think they want to have a clear 1-on-1 match at WrestleMania. It is interesting, though, if they did have a double pin type scenario, double submission, and then they go in WrestleMania with a 3-way or a 4-way with all those guys. So it's interesting to think about, and it would help out, especially avoiding a Roman Reigns Triple H 1-on-1 match where the crowd's booing Reigns the whole match. It would help out there, but I think for this year's Mania, I think they want to have a 1-on-1 matchup, a clear, straight-up 1-on-1 match, so that would probably trump the scenarios that you presented, which are pretty good, but I think that would be where WWE would kind of lean toward, is let's have a 1-on-1 match at Mania. Let's go to the three-pack of questions. Quick run-through from Kylan out of New Jersey. Has Vince McMahon noticed Kalisto's potential to draw? Interestingly, Kalisto will have to draw as the top title match at Fastlane, or at least help, because the Intercontinental title is tied up in the number of contenders match. Triple H, WWE champion, is at wrestling, so Kalisto versus Del Rio is all of a sudden the top title match at Fastlane. So, yeah, this will be a chance for him to be a bigger deal because he is in the top title match, and I think that McMahon will recognize that and give him a bigger spotlight going into Fastlane here in a couple weeks. And then also AJ Styles keeping his name and his moves and going right to the main roster. What does that mean? And does that bode well for guys like Nakamura and Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows to follow suit? I think that AJ's a separate entity than Nakamura and Anderson and Gallows for now. Now, obviously, if they're all put together in a stable with or without Finn Balor, then the conversation might change. But I feel like right now I'm leaning toward AJ sort of being a lone character right now, and have AJ... Hey, what about this? How about AJ against Finn Balor and the Balor Club? How about that? You put, Finn Balor introduced the Bullet Club, and then AJ Styles took over when Balor went to NXT, so you matched up Finn Balor, the original leader of the Bullet Club, AJ Styles, the second leader of the Bullet Club, and you had them opposite each other with the Balor Club. Woo! AJ Styles and Finn Balor having matches on WWE television. That would be something. So, and also if you put Nakamura in there, that'd be a way for Nakamura to kind of develop his speaking. He can speak decent English. It's really impressive for somebody, where English is not the first language. But if you put Nakamura in a stable with Finn Balor and Doc and Carl Anderson opposite AJ... that would be a pretty interesting feud coming out of WrestleMania, but that would be a pretty good use of them. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to kind of think about is what they might do with AJ and then the other guys that are coming along with them to WWE. Last question, Jonathan emailed in about the Hall of Fame. What about Mark Henry in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, it sure felt like one of those PSAs tonight. I thought they were going to translate that into a Hall of Fame announcement for Henry. The way they're going over his entire career in the PSA. So I think that would be a really good move. They're in Texas. They're in his part of town part of the state where he was born and raised. So if this is his last WrestleMania, if he is retiring after this year's Mania, then, yeah, I think he should go in with a Hall of Fame induction. So that would be a pretty cool way to cap off his career. So, I know he's an active wrestler, and they don't do a lot of active wrestlers and that sort of thing, but I like to see I would like to see that. I'd like to see that. So, Henry in the Hall of Fame, active wrestler. I think that's worth doing. So, we'll see if it happens. They've got a lot of time to kind of sort out their Hall of Fame inductions after Sting. So, we shall see. All right, that'll do it for me on tonight's show. A lot of good emails, a lot of good phone calls, good interaction with everybody calling in and emailing tonight. Appreciate you guys making it for a fun Raw postgame show. And, of course, I'll be back next Monday with Greg Parks. And, of course, tomorrow's live cast, Wade Keller, Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net right here at 5 Eastern on PWTorchLiveCast.com. If you go VIP right now to the VIP website, Wade Keller's got his VIP blog up for tonight. So that is worth checking out on the VIP website. So if you're not a VIP member, go to PWTorch.com/GoVIP. Find out how to subscribe, become a VIP member, get access to all the VIP content that we offer at PWTorch.com with a VIP tilt to it. If you go VIP, all the content and all the good stuff there on the VIP website. So that'll do it for me on tonight's show. It's been fun. It's been a good time. Thank you guys for calling in, and I'll talk to you guys next Monday. So on behalf of PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil, this is Torch assistant editor James Caldwell sending off for the live cast, and Kids on Bridges playing us out.